I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the 10th chapter of Romans, and we are going to talk today about the second half of this chapter, Romans chapter 10, beginning from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Paul is addressing the Roman believers, and he is telling them about the people of Israel and God's dealing with the people of Israel in this present day dispensation in which we live in. In chapter 9, he talked about the past. In chapter 11, he will talk about the future. In chapter 10, he is speaking about the present state of the nation of Israel. And when we have stopped in our last meeting together, we stopped in verse 13 where the Apostle Paul was quoting the prophet Joel in chapter 2 and verse 32 where he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he now continuing in verse 14 to verse 21 and he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of shalom, the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and he saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But of Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Then he move on into the next thought that he have in his heart that he is continuing to share with the Romans, which we're going to talk a little bit later. But today, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to share with you that which flows from verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, where he came to the climax and he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And of course the text in our chapter, in Romans chapter 10, of course deals with the nation, the people of Israel, but the message of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel have gone to the whole universe. And in verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 10, we have the universal character of salvation. Salvation, of course, it is to the nation of Israel, but it goes beyond the nation of Israel to all the nations of the world. And if you remember, it says in Romans 10 verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." And you know why there is no difference? There is no difference because the Jewish individual is a sinner and needs forgiveness of sins. And the Greek or the Gentile individual is a sinner and he or she needs forgiveness of sins. So there is no difference, and for all of them need salvation. And he says here, "For the same Lord is over all, he is rich unto all that call upon him." So if anybody will call upon him from among the nations of the world, the Lord is rich towards that person. And if anybody is going to call upon him from among the nation of Israel, the Lord is rich toward them, because he doesn't want anybody to perish, and he wants all to come to repentance. And so the apostle, Paul Shaul, now emphasizes the fact that Israel did not recognize the universal character of the gospel. That it's not only limited to Israel as a nation, but it is to all the nations of this world. And so Israel, as we have looked in the first 13 verses, Israel had not recognized the need that they have for salvation.
And that's why the first 13 verses, we see that they did not recognize the need of a Savior, verse 1, and that they had zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, verse 2, and that they had been ignorant of God's righteousness, and they went about seeking to accomplish their own righteousness. This is in verse 3. And they did not recognize that the Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe, in verse 4 of this chapter. And so now, in our verses in which we have just been reading, in verses 14 to the end of the chapter, we find out the fact that the apostle want the Romans to understand that not only that the gospel went out towards them in the nations of the world, Israel as well need to hear the message of the gospel. And so, in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, he answers, or he tells us, what is the answer for Israel's rejection of the Messiah? As a nation, what should we do? What will bring about Israel into a relationship with the Messiah? And so, those four verses, 14, 15, 16, 17, gives us the answer. In verses 14 and 15, he's saying to us, he's showing to us that Israel now need to hear the message. And brothers and sisters, verses 14 and 15 of Romans chapter 10 often is being read in missionary conferences. You go to a missionary conference today, and you will hear about people talking about the necessity of preaching the gospel to the whole world, and some of the verses that will be mentioned is Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. What does it say? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall we shall hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of shalom, the gospel of peace, and they bring glad tidings of good things. Now, while it is true that those verses should be used in a presentation and sending workers and missionaries all over the world to share with the world the message of the gospel, I would like to submit to you that in context here, these verses apply, first of all, the necessity of sending missionaries towards the nation of Israel. And because you see, the Apostle Paul is the whole three chapters here, in the center of these three chapters, he's speaking specifically of Israel's rejection of the Messiah in this present day. And so he's saying, really, to the Roman believers, listen, we have to realize that Israel, the Jewish people, need to hear the message of the gospel. And so he's giving them the order of the presentation of the gospel to the nation of Israel. And you notice that he used 5 times the word how. 5 times he used the word how. First of all, how shall they call? You remember in verse 13 he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he or she shall be saved. Well, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The second one is, how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Thirdly, how shall they hear without somebody preaching? And fourthly, how shall they preach except somebody is going to be sent? And fifthly, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of shalom and bring glad tidings of good things. He using this order, you notice that if you will reverse this order and you will read this in a reverse way, if Israel is going to come to faith in the Messiah, or individual Jewish people will come to faith in the Messiah, somebody must be sent so that person will preach, so the people of Israel will hear, and so they will come to believe, which ultimately will lead them to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, this is very important for us to understand. And it is interesting that the apostle here perhaps looks back in his very own history. After all, he was a Hebrew, he was an Israeli, he was Jewish, and he is looking back, and he must be perhaps remembering the time that he himself was called to be sent to become a missionary by the Spirit of God. There's a verse that I have just read today in the book of Acts. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 13 for a moment, you will see what we read in the earlier verses of Acts chapter 13. The apostle, even after he was already saved, he became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. He was part of the assembly in Antioch. And in Acts chapter 13 in Antioch, he was part of the whole company of believers there in this local church, local assembly in Antioch. And then in Antioch there, in verse 1, there were in the church, in the assembly there, that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice Shaul, his name is mentioned here in verse 1 of Acts chapter 13. And it says there, as they ministered unto the Lord, and they fasted, the Holy Spirit said unto them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus. And again, notice in verse 5 what we find out that Shaul is doing. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to be their minister, their servant. You see, Shaul, Paul, he's looking back in his history, not only in chapter 9 in the book of Acts when the Lord talked to him from heaven and called him for the ministry, but he's looking back at the time when he was among the believers in a local assembly in Antioch, and there the Holy Spirit of God moved the brothers and sisters to recognize the call that he and Barnabas had for the ministry of the preaching of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit of God raised these two men, Shaul and Barnabas, and the brethren sent them to preach the message of the word. And you know, when Paul, wherever he has gone, he always went, first of all, to the Jewish community in a local city, wherever it had been. And he's looking back, the apostle, and he says, listen, if Israel is going to call upon the name of the Lord, somebody must be sent. And if this person is going to be sent, he needs to be preaching. And as he preached the word of God, they will hear the message of the gospel. And as they will hear the message of the gospel, God will produce in their hearts faith in Yeshua the Messiah. And when they will believe on him, they will call upon him. And then they will be saved. Because whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. So the question is, the apostle is asking the brothers and sisters in Rome, how? How shall they call? How shall they believe? How shall they hear? Unless somebody preach. And how can he preach if he is not sent? So, sending, preaching, hearing, believing, and calling. And you know, brothers and sisters, you and I have the same responsibility today. We are to share the message of the gospel with all the world. There is no doubt, it's not limited to the people of Israel. But there is a responsibility to share the message of the gospel with our own people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. You see, in the past, the gospel was presented to the Gentile world by the nation of Israel, by Jewish people. Individual Jewish people who were redeemed by the Lord, and they were sent out to preach the message to the nations of the world. And Paul saying, Shaul saying, now we need also to present that message of the gospel to the Jewish people, to the people of Israel. And you notice he's quoting one verse in verse 15 that is found in two passages of the Old Testament scriptures. He's quoting a verse in verse 15. He says, as it is written. You see, brothers and sisters at Rome, he's saying to the believers, says, look, this passage, the necessity of sending people to mention to the Jewish people, to Israel, the message of the gospel is because it is written. And he's quoting one verse that is quoted in two prophets in the Old Testament scriptures. And what does the prophet say? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of shalom, of peace. And they bring glad tidings of good things. Now this is the fifth time that he used the word how. And notice he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Many times when we mention this verse, we say this. Feet, physically speaking, are not beautiful at all. In fact, feet are one of the members of our bodies which we cover. And we are really, when we look at our feet are really not necessarily beautiful member of our body. Humanly speaking, when you think about the feet, our feet are not attractive. We cover them, it's a lower part of our members of our body. But when these feet are taking the message of the love of God and being taken using those feet to take it and to share the message of the love of God, these feet become very beautiful. Think about how many of us that we have come to faith in the Messiah, that God have used brothers and sisters, believers, to take their feet and come spend a lot of time with us to tell us about the love of God. I remember years ago, before I came to faith in the Messiah, I used to play soccer in the Niagara on the lake area. And I remember there was one brother, and you know Brother Nick, a few times he preached the word here, he used to come to the soccer field when I was playing soccer. He used to spend time watching me playing the game, and when we finished the game, he used to take me and spend time with me to talk to me about Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah. He spent time, he spent energy, he was praying, he was really burdened with my salvation, him and others as well. But God have used these men, these brothers and sisters, to share with me the message of the gospel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And I honestly believe that God used their prayer, God used their time, God used the fact that they were sent, and the fact that they used their feet. And what did they do using their feet? They brought the message of the gospel to you and I. And to me, at that time, and Paul saying, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good news. Now, I want you to also remember that by nature, brothers and sisters, you and I oftentimes use our feet in a wrong way. It was Solomon, the king of Israel, who said in the book of Proverbs, he said, of course, to whom he was writing, the king of Israel was saying to the sons or the children of Israel, he's saying to them, listen, in Proverbs chapter 1, he's saying to them, listen, their feet, by nature, our feet are being used in a very wrong way. He says in verse 15 of Proverbs 1, he says, my son, do not walk in the way of those that are doing evil. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet are run to do evil, and make haste to shed blood. That's what the king of Israel, Solomon, saying to his son when he was speaking to him. He's speaking about the feet. He's speaking about other things. He says six things that the Lord hates in chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs. Verse 16, he says, and the seventh one, an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hands that shed for an innocent blood, a heart that devises a wicked imagination, and feet, verse 18, that are swift to run or running to do mischief. You see, we use our feet by nature to do mischief, to shed innocent blood, to use our feet in a wrong way. And these feet often led us to do things which were not honoring unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul is quoting the two prophets of Israel, and he said, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Every time you and I are sharing the message of the love of God with Jewish people and with the nations of the world, our feet become extremely beautiful. Because we bring a message of love, a message of grace, a message of forgiveness, A message concerning Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah who came to die for us on the tree and to pay the price for our salvation. So, how they shall call, except they will believe? And how shall they believe, except they hear? And how shall they hear, except somebody preach? And how shall the preacher preach, except he will be sent? And so there is an order: sent, preach, hear, believe, and call. And that's what the Apostle Paul is intending to happen to the nation of Israel. Now you notice another thing that I think it is so nice to find out about these verses that he quoted from Isaiah and from the prophet Nahum. I'm going to read the two verses that are found in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, that are quotation here in Romans chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 52, that was read to us earlier, the prophet Isaiah was speaking prophetically to a future day when Israel will come to faith in the Messiah. And he said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings and publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation." And he says, "Unto Zion thy God reigneth." In Isaiah chapter 52, the prophet Isaiah looking forward to the messianic age when God is going to reign, when the Messiah is going to reign. But when Nahum is mentioning the same verse, in chapter 1 or verse 15 of the prophet Nahum, there it's not looking to the future, but there is looking to the past history of Israel. When Israel, you remember after the city of Nineveh, the Assyrian, who were a tremendous enemy of the people of Israel. When the nation of Assyria, or I should say with the city of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, when the whole city became believers in the God of Israel under the preaching of Jonah, 150 years after the preaching of Jonah to the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh became wicked in the sight of the Lord. And they became enemies of the people of Israel. And so the burden of Nineveh that Nahum had, he's saying that one day God would judge the people of Nineveh. And the news came to the people of Israel, how, behold, upon the mountain, the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. In Nahum, it looks back to the history of Israel. In Isaiah, it looks to the future of the people of Israel. Both of them are quoting the verse that we have here in Romans chapter 10. In the past, the news came to Israel that God will judge the Ninevites because of their sin. In the future, we find out Isaiah saying God will ultimately restore the nation of Israel, and Israel is going to be established in the land of Israel. But Apostle Paul takes the past and look to the future, and he brings it into the present day dispensation. And he says, right now, you Roman believers, how beautiful are your feet when you are going to preach the gospel of peace to the nation of Israel, and that you bringing glad tidings of good things to come. And what does that mean, the gospel of peace today? The gospel of peace is what we just studied in Romans 5 verse 1. That we have peace with God now through our Lord Jesus the Messiah. We don't have to wait for the future. We don't even have to look to the past. We can have a present day enjoyment and assurance that we have peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1 tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Every one of us that have accepted Him as our Messiah, we have peace with Him right now in this present day dispensation. And it's not only the peace of God, but it is the peace with God. We no longer have to be away from Him, because He made peace through the blood of His cross. He made shalom for us because of the blood that Yeshua the Messiah had shed for us on the tree. And so, brothers and sisters, this is really challenging. We also today have the responsibility to send in order that somebody will preach. And as he preach, they will hear. And as they hear, they will come to faith. And as they come into faith, they will call upon the name of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And that's the responsibility that Apostle Paul was encouraging the Roman believers to have. And that's what you and I can learn from this today. We are to preach the gospel to all creatures, everywhere in the world. But in context here, it's specifically to the nation of Israel. And so this is verse 14 and 15. The order and chain of the preaching of the message of the gospel to Israel. And so in verse 16, we find out that after he's saying what he said concerning the necessity of the preaching of the gospel of peace, and then he said in verse 16, even though we will preach the gospel, and it had been preached, not all Israel obeyed the message of the gospel. That's why Israel is today in such a state. Israel today do not believe in the Messiah, still need to be saved as a nation. Individual Jewish people are believers today, but yet the rest of the nation, the vast majority of the nation, are still in unbelief. And so he says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? You see, now he's taking us back and he's saying, look, Isaiah already said prophetically in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, he says, listen, Lord, who had believed what we reported? Who had believed the report that we have reported concerning the sufferings of the Mashiach, of the Messiah? You remember very well when the Lord Yeshua came in His first coming about 2,000 years ago, how many things He have done among our people Israel? You remember from the time that He was born, when He was born in the city of Bethlehem, and we see throughout His 30 years of life here upon the face of this earth, He was appealing to the people of Israel. He longed Israel to come to faith in Him. You remember this verse that we were just singing, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, He's inviting them, constantly seeking to bring Israel to Himself. And you remember how when He marched towards the city of Jerusalem, and you remember when He was looking towards the city, and He began to look towards the mountain of Jerusalem, and He saw the Temple Mount, and you remember He began to weep. And He cried, you remember He cried, He said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long would I have gathered you as a hen gather her chick, but ye would not, He said. He said, now your house shall be left unto you desolate, for you shall not see me henceforth until you are going to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, the heart of our blessed Lord Yeshua was so much burdened with the need of Israel's salvation. You notice what he said? Look at John chapter 12, these verses. It says in that chapter 12, listen. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they did not believe on him. Verse 37. How many miracles he have done in the midst of our own nation, the nation of Israel? How many things that he have accomplished there? He turned the water unto wine. He have given the lame the ability to walk. The blind receive his sight. The dead was raised from among the dead. And it says here, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they did not believe on him. He must have been so grieved, so sad. Because here, Paul is saying to us in Romans 10, in verse 16, but, he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah had said. You see, what we learn from these brothers and sisters, that God, long before he sent the Messiah, through the prophet Isaiah, he already said, listen, the Messiah is going to come. And the Messiah will be rejected by his own people at the first coming. As Isaiah said, who has believed what we have heard? That's the way it's actually in Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who had believed what we are reporting? And you know what he was reporting, brothers and sisters? When Isaiah was reporting in chapter 53,
He was not reporting about a great, powerful king that is going to come.
He was reporting about a servant that is going to come and be rejected by men.
He was reporting about a man of sorrows that was acquainted with grief.
He was reporting about a man that was going to be looked by men around him, by the people around him. They're going to look at him and they're going to find no beauty in him.
But then he was reporting that in his second coming, Israel will realize that he was wounded for our transgression.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and with his stripe we were healed.
But at the first coming, they did not believe on him. That's why we read, though he had done so many miracles before them, they did not believe on him. Can you imagine how it must have grieved the heart of Yeshua the Messiah? The one who loved the nation so much. The one who wanted his people to come to know him, to become a redeemed nation. And you know, you and I need to develop the same heart of Yeshua towards the nation of Israel. We cannot just put down and say, oh, you see how bad they are. They did not believe in how awful they are and how good we are because we have believed. You see, the Lord has a heart for the nations of the world, but also specifically a burden for the nation of Israel. And in John chapter 12, after verse 37, where it says, though he have done many miracles before them, yet they did not believe on him, it says there immediately in the next verses, it says that the sayings of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled. Do you know, brothers and sisters, and we're going to see that in chapter 11, that when Israel rejected the Messiahship of Yeshua, the Gentile world had benefited from it.
When Israel did not accept in his first coming the Mashiach,
the world around had benefited from that. Isaiah, the prophet, what he said 750 years prior to the coming of the Messiah, had been fulfilled. And you know, it says in John 12, it exactly has a reference to what Romans in chapter 10 mentioned and what Isaiah in his chapter mentioned. It says in John 12 verse 38, that prophet Isaiah, his saying will be fulfilled which he spake. And he says, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord had been revealed? You see, the arm of the Lord is another name of the Messiah, another name of Yeshua, another reference to the Messiah. He was the arm of the Lord. He was the arm singular who was reaching out for the nation of Israel, who is reaching out for souls today in this present day. He is the arm of the Lord. And he says, to whom is the arm of the Lord had been revealed? In verse 39 of John 12, he says, therefore they could not believe because Isaiah also said again, he said, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart and be converted and that they should be healed. These things says Isaiah when he saw his glory and he spake of him. If you will read your Bible in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah himself had an experience that brought him unto salvation. He had had a vision from the Lord. And he has seen this vision have really changed him completely. He already has also mentioned the fact that he recognized that the King, the Messiah, is the one that cleansed him and washed him. I'll read these verses also, if you will allow me, please, in Isaiah chapter 6, where it says, in the year that the king Uzziah died, Isaiah is saying, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train were filling the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two of them he covered his face. And with two of them he covered his feet. And with two of them he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the parts of the doors were moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I, notice what Isaiah is saying, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people which are unclean, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, and he, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues, from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquities is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then he continued in these verses in chapter 6, and he says, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, and ye understand not, and see ye indeed, but you perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. Then say I to the Lord, how long? And then the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6 is only for a limited time, because later on the nation of Israel will be redeemed. And so here in our chapter, in Romans chapter 10, really you can see that they did not all obey. They did not all accept the Messiah. And that's why they are in such a state. It is because they rejected the Messiahship of Yeshua. Not all, but the nation as a nation. Individuals always believed in the Messiah. Individuals in first century presented the Messiah to the nation of the world. But the whole nation as a nation is still in that state. And so we find out in verse 16 that he said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And in verse 17 he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Israel have heard the message. If they would have heard and obey and accept the Messiah, they would have been believing and calling upon the name of the Lord. But because they did, as a nation, they are still in a state of disobedience and in a state of blindness. And this is a very important principle. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You and I, as we share the message with Jewish people or non-Jewish people, are responsible to give the word out. Because faith comes by hearing, but it is a hearing of the word of God. We need to preach the word so the person will be convicted by the Holy Spirit and ultimately come to faith in Yeshua the Messiah. So, calling upon the name of the Lord come because someone is believing. Believing come because somebody have heard. Hearing is because somebody have preached. And preaching is because somebody was sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring and preach the gospel of peace. And so now he's moving on and he says, listen, not only that the answer to Israel's rejection, the Messiah, is the preaching of the gospel, look what is the outcome of Israel's rejection of the Messiah. You know what is the outcome? Here in the next verse, 18, 19, 20, and 21, he shows us the outcome. When Israel rejected the Messiah, look what happened. When Israel's rejection of the Messiah, it brought a benefit to the nations of the world. And so in verse 18, he says, first of all, have they not heard? He says, did not they hear the gospel? And the answer, of course, is yes. They surely heard the message of the gospel. You know that very well, that I don't think there is anybody in the world, hardly anybody, I should say, in the world, haven't yet heard something about the work of the Messiah. Wherever you go today, somehow, about Yeshua, people know very well who Jesus, or at least something about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. But Israel, have they not heard? I can tell you, Paul said in verse 18, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Notice verse 18. He says, Israel did hear the message, but Israel is actually guilty in rejecting that message. They are guilty in that. And Paul is telling them very clearly. It says in verse 18, their sound went into all the earth. Not only to Israel, but towards all the nations of the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Two things he's telling us here. First of all, he said their sound went into all the earth. And then secondly, their words unto the end of the earth. And by the way, he's quoting here another verse from the Old Testament. He's quoting Psalm 19.
And Psalm 19 is actually dividing itself into two sections. The first section, in the first six verses of Psalm 19, God presents himself to the world through creation. The heavens declares the glory of the Lord. And then from verse 7 to verse 11, we find out that God presents himself through his word, through the scriptures. So there is no excuse to anyone in the world to say, I haven't heard about this God, I haven't heard about the message of the gospel. Because God presents himself through the revelation of creation and through the revelation of his word. And Israel as a nation, surely, as it says in verse 18, they have heard the message. If there is anybody that received this twofold revelation, is the nation of Israel. Israel received the revelation of creation, and Israel received the revelation of God's word. There's twofold revelation that God had given to his own people, the nation of Israel. So they are without excuse because they have heard. And so that's why when a person hears the word and see God's creation and reject this, he's guilty before God. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, you remember we read about the whole world is guilty before God because if they don't have the internal revelation, they have the external revelation. All of us here, we got up this morning and we open our windows and we look and we saw the creation of God. We saw the sky. We saw the sun. We might have seen clouds today, but we can see the sun and the moon and the star is the revelation of God in creation. He has made all things. But we also have the conscience. And the conscience is the internal, the buzzer that God through our conscience shows us that we need to acknowledge a living God. But we also have the written revelation of God in his word. And that's why the apostle is quoting Psalm 19 where he said, their sound went to all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. Did not Israel hear? They surely have heard. They've heard it through creation. They've heard it through the revelation of the word of God. And so he says, really, Israel is guilty. God revealed himself through creation. God revealed himself through his word. And they have heard the message. And they are really guilty before God. Really, anybody today cannot come with any excuse. Can say, I did not hear the message. I do not know. Nobody told me about this living God. Nobody told me about the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, they have heard. Yes, they have heard. But it says here that they have not all have submitted to the word of God. In verse 19, he continued, and verse 20 he says, did not Israel know? Notice verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? And then he is quoting now some passages from the Old Testament again. And he says, Israel sure did know. Because Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are not a people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you, you know. And Moses already prophetically in chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy, he have already said to the nation of Israel, you know, when you are going to violate my word and disobey me, I will provoke you to jealousy. Jealousy by them that are not a people. Israel, you see, when you are not going to submit to my word, I'm going to share the message. I'm going to go beyond you to the nations of the world. And I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. But by those who are no people. And what he meant by that is that, you know, the nation of Israel was chosen by God. It's a peculiar nation. And the rest of the nations of the world were not a people. In a sense, they did not have a relationship in the same way that Israel had. And so now when Israel rejected, when Israel did not accept the Messiah, the outcome of Israel's rejection of the Messiah is that the gospel have gone to the nations of the world. And people who were not a people became redeemed and saved. And that's again, brothers and sisters, that will happen to all of us here. The Messiah has saved us, and you and I, Jews and Gentiles, from all the nations of the world, we became part of the body of Mashiach, the body of Messiah. And in a sense, the church who were not the people, became now the people of God. And the Israel, in a sense, looking at the church, the assembly, and in a sense, needed to be provoked to jealousy. When they say, how come you know so much about my God? And I, who are part of the chosen people, know very little about my God. In fact, to make it again personal, when I was talked by others about the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, about the Bible, those Christians knew so much more about my Bible than I knew. I was so surprised. I said, listen, wait a minute, they're talking about Egypt, Israel coming out of Egypt, and the story of how God delivered our people from the land of Egypt. They're talking about the Jordan River, and about how God have opened the Jordan River and have our people to come in. They're talking about all the history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And I was amazed at the information that those believers had. And they could ask me, well, tell me a little bit about the history of your people. And I could tell them somewhat. But in comparison to those Bible believers who knew the Word of God, I knew very little. And you see, what we learn from that is that this provoke one to be jealous. Wait a minute. How come you know so much about my people? How come you love the God of my people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob so much? And I, a Jew, an Israeli, a Hebrew, do not have such a relationship with Him. What's going on? That's what you and I are supposed to do in our communication with our people Israel. To provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. To be jealous over your relationship with the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with the Messiah Himself. Now, brothers and sisters, you know very well from church history that not always the church provoked Israel to jealousy. Many times the church provoked Israel to anger. Many times professing Christians have provoked the Jewish people to say, you keep your Jesus to yourself. Don't give me this Yeshua. I don't want to hear about Him. Church history proves to us so much in the name of Jesus have happened against the people of Israel. Professing church have done so much damage to the testimony, to the nation of Israel, that many of the Jewish people said, you take your Jesus and leave me alone. And that's how sad, how things have been so corrupted, how things have been so twisted, because we did not, or the church did not represent themselves in a proper way to the nation of Israel. And God will deal with those professing Christians or even true Christians who are not properly representing the Lord Jesus toward the nation of Israel. But He's saying here, have they not heard? He says, yes, their sound went to all the earth. Their words went to the end of the world. Did they not hear? Or did not Israel know? Yes, they knew that God said already in the book of Deuteronomy through Moses, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that were not a people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. See, God has said to Israel, when you are not going to appreciate what I've done for you and what I am for you, I will cause you to be jealous and I will cause you to be angry by those who are not a nation, but by a foolish nation. I will anger you. And he quoting Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21. And he continues in verse 20, and you notice that in verse 20 he says, but Isaiah, and he's again going to Isaiah. Isaiah is very bold in verse 20, and he says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. And brothers and sisters, you know the reality that God was found by those who actually did not seek God. What happened in this present dispensation is that God reached out to those who actually did not seek after Him. That's the grace of God. God was found by nation or by a people in the world that actually did not seek Him. He was found by them, and you and I, we can say the church, the believers in this present day, became a company of redeemed people by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Earlier in Romans chapter 5, the apostle said and remind them, he said, when we were without strength, in due time the Messiah died for the ungodly. In verse 8 he says, while yet ye were sinners, he says, the Messiah died for us. And then in verse 10 of Romans chapter 5, he says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of His Son. What really happened is that we didn't seek for God. We didn't want God in our lives.
What happened here, beloved brothers and sisters, that God was found by those who actually did not seek Him. We didn't want Him. We didn't want Him in our life. He actually reached down and brought us to Himself. In this case, of course, He has an application to Gentiles who became believers in the Messiah. And He says, listen, Isaiah was bold. Isaiah spoke and he says, listen, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that did not ask after me. Don't you recognize that actually we by nature did not seek after God, but God sought after us. God sought after us. And He reached down and He saw us in our need. And He reached down and He said, I love you. I've sent my Son for you, the Messiah. And I want you to be brought into a relationship with me. And that's what happened to you and to me, brothers and sisters. God in His grace have reached down to us and brought us to Himself. And He, in a sense, He lingered. You know, in the beginning, when the Messiah came in His first coming, He lingered. He wanted the nation of Israel to accept Him. He lingered and He lingered and He lingered until there was the final straw. And He says, I'm going to go now to the nations of the world. If you will read in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10, God said to the disciples, He said, do not go to any other place except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He lingered. He wanted them to present His love for the nation of Israel. He lingered. In Acts chapter 1, He says, you tarry for me in Jerusalem. He lingered, He wanted, will the nation accept the Messiahship of Yeshua? And you remember in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was presenting the history of the nation of Israel, and you remember the first martyr in the Bible, Stephen was killed by his own brethren. And you remember he looked steadfastly out to heaven, and he saw heaven open, and he saw the Lord Jesus standing there, reaching down, as it were, will the nation accept me? Will Israel come to faith in me? And after Stephen presented the Messiahship of Yeshua to our own people, the nation, they were so upset with him that they took stones and they stoned Stephen. And he, Stephen, as he was stoned, he cried out, he said, Jesus, he said, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And they rejected the testimony of Stephen. And when they rejected the testimony of Jesus, in Acts chapter 8, we find the messages going to the nations of the world. And that's what happened. Brothers and sisters, Yeshua was lingering. Will the nation accept Him in the first coming? And they didn't, unfortunately. And now we read here in the verses, He says, did not Israel know? He said, I will provoke them to jealousy with them that are not a people. And by a foolish nation, I will anger the people of Israel. And so they knew that. And the message of the gospel now gone to the nations of the world, and Israel as a nation is still remaining in a blind state, awaiting the day when in a future day they will accept the Messiahship of Yeshua. And so the last verses, and I'm going to wrap up here with this, the last verse here in verse 21. In verse 21 we read, now that God's heart is still yearning for the nation of Israel. God's attitude towards Israel is the attitude that you and I should develop in our hearts. It says in the last verse of Romans chapter 10, it says, but to Israel He saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and again saying people. He's again quoting, you know, Paul is so Hebrew in his presentation. He's so Jewish in his mannerism. He's so Israeli in whatever he said. He always quotes the scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, and he's quoting what the prophet Isaiah has said. All day long I stretch forth my hand unto a disobedient and again saying people. You see, the apostle Paul shows us God's heart today also for the nation of Israel. His heart is that he's still stretching his hands. We just sang earlier what the Lord has said in the Gospel of Matthew. He stretched, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. You remember when Jesus said those words, he was not here in Toronto. He was in the land of Israel. And when he was speaking there, he was speaking to the nations. He said, you come to me, all you that labor, and you having laden. He said, I'm going to give you rest. Rest to your soul. Rest from sin. Rest from the load of sin. I'm going to give you rest. Rest to the soul. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. That's the second rest in our practical walk with the Lord. And he was saying to them, come unto me. And so the apostle is showing to us the heart of God and the attitude of God towards the nation of Israel. He is still yearning towards the nation of Israel. He's still longing to see the people of Israel come to faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. But to Israel, he says, verse 21, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto disobedient and again saying people. So brothers and sisters, what we learn from these verses, from verses 14 to verse 21, we learn, number one, the answer for Israel's rejection of the Messiah is preaching of the gospel. Secondly, verse 18 to 21, what is the outcome of Israel's rejection of the Messiah? It is that the message has gone to the Gentile world in this present day dispensation. I was reading in one of the commentaries about Romans chapter 10, and I really enjoyed it, that the writer quoted another man who said that there are four reasons why the church, the assembly, should send missionaries to the world and also to Israel. Four reasons. Number one is a command from above. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Secondly, is the cry from beneath. And there he said, he's quoting Luke 16:27, send him to my father's house. Remember the rich man who was in Hades, cry from beneath, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house that he will tell them about here about the reality because I am tormented here. And then thirdly is the call from without. Where without there is a call said, come over and help us. When the apostle Paul was beginning to move about, he heard the message. Come over and help us in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And finally, there is the constraint from within the heart. The love of the Messiah constrains me. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. There are four reasons, brothers and sisters, why we should send ministers or servants or missionaries to share the message of the gospel with Israel and with the rest of the nations of the world. There is a command from above, there is a cry from beneath, there is a call from without, and there is a constraint from within. That's why we should send missionaries to preach the message of the gospel to the whole world in general, but also specifically to the nation of Israel, that Israel as a nation will ultimately come to faith in the Messiah. Chapter 11 is going to show us that there is a future for Israel, but Jewish people today need the message of the Messiah, because without the knowledge who Yeshua is and what he has done for them, they will be lost. Lost eternally. Eternally. So somebody has to be sent, and if he's sent, he can preach. And when he preaches, they will hear. And if they hear, they will believe. And if believe, they will call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord help us as we continue here to follow him, to desire to share the message of the gospel with the Jewish people as well.